Well, a good Sunday, and welcome. Welcome to Sunday Praise, and thank you for joining me. My name is Bill Craig, and I have the privilege of bringing you Sunday Praise, the program that points to no other than our Lord Jesus Christ and our hope in Him, a hope that is sure and steadfast as He split the veil from top to bottom, where we can go in and get to know Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there's no other way. But He tells me in John chapter 11, verse 25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. That's a good question, isn't it, my friend? Well, we'll hope to help you answer it through God's Word. God's Word's very clear. And everyone who lives and believes in me, there it is, friends, believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this, Jesus asked? Do you believe this? Father, we come before you. Help our feeble hearts to believe more of your word. I love your word, and I pray that your word, as it goes out today, that many will respond to your word, your word. You've been so merciful, and you're such a wonderful Savior to people such as I, wretches such as I, and you save me. So, dear friends, I know where I came from. So, dear friends, I know that everybody listening to my word here today can be saved through Jesus Christ. He is the power and the glory. We just thank you. Thank you that we can come to you, Lord, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. John 14:6 tells us that. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I think of vision. What's your vision, my friend? What are you thinking about? Who are you thinking about? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he in the top of your head, or is he in your heart, my friend? Well, we want him to be our vision. Him and him alone. His thoughts. And I think of his thoughts. We don't want any of our own thoughts because they might delude us. It tells me very clearly in the Bible, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Fear the Lord. We want him to be our vision, don't we, friends? He knows how deceitful and how frivolous our hearts are, that they go one way today and another way tomorrow. But if we stay with him, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we'll stay on the path. We've got the Martins starting us off with Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
beautiful old hymn penned in the 8th century in Ireland. It tells me in Proverbs chapter 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. We have to have a vision. But he that keeps the law, happy is he, staying close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the law, he fulfilled the law, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think of the Christian vision. We have to have a total vision of Christ, his power, and knowing that he is the one that leads us, he is the one that helps us, he is our all in all. We have to have him in our heart every day. First place. This old hymn is still so meaningful for us today, of the leading of God in our lives. It's actually probably a prayer. Lord of my heart, thy presence, my light, bright heaven's sun, and my heart of my heart. And it's true, when we allow God to have first place in our lives, he becomes our treasure, and we care no more for the pursuit of riches or man's empty praise. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence thy light. Be thou my wisdom, my true word. Thou mine inheritance, now and always, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. Here's a thought for you, dear friends. Ask God to give you a vision of some task that you can do for him that will require your complete, lean not on your own understanding, complete reliance on Jesus Christ, upon his power. And then you'll have true vision, my friends. And I think of yielding to him. You know, friends, it takes much grace to judge yourself, for vanity is strong, isn't it? But God will bless the soul who cries, O Lord, forgive me, I'm wrong. A little poem by G. Woods. But when you ask him to put some task in front of you, you can do for him, and then rely on him totally. Here's another thought, the same as in Proverbs chapter 3. You know, totally rely on him. And I find it in Job chapter 22. I read from verse 15 to 26. Will you keep to the ancient path which wicked men have trod, who were snatched away before their time, whose foundations were washed away by a river? They said to God, depart from us. You see that today, don't you, dear friends? People want God out of their lives. They don't like it when their conscience are pricked. They said, God, depart from us. What can the Almighty do to them? Well, he's going to judge them, my friends. When it's all said and done, he will judge them. Yet he filled their houses with good things. He's been wonderful to all of us. But the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The righteous see and are glad, and the innocent mock them, saying, truly our adversaries are cut off, and their abundance the fire has consumed. And then in verse 21, key verse, it says, yield now and be at peace with him. We got to surrender all. And then it says, therefore good will come to you. Please receive instruction from his mouth and establish his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you'll be restored. And if you remove the unrighteousness far from your tent and place your gold in the dust and the gold of Ophir among the stones of the brooks, then the Almighty will be your gold. He'll be everything to you and choice silver to you. And then you'll delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. And I think of him being our Redeemer. Can you say that, dear friends? Can you say he's your Redeemer? I pray you can. You can say it. You can even mean it. Ask him to give you the faith. We need faith from him, and we have to ask him for it. We got the Martins up again with redeemed, and how I love to proclaim it. Not boastfully, but maybe silently in your heart.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me shall continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. Forever I am. Forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guards every footstep and gives me a song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am.
The Martins once again on Sunday Praise, and a beautiful old song, Redeemed. Redeemed, and how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, no other way but the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. And I look at that verse, through his infinite mercy. His mercy is so wonderful. And he looks at us. I mean, he could just wipe us out just by saying it. As it tells me in Job, that if he was to take back his breath, everything on earth, everything would perish. Including you, my friend, and myself. But he's a merciful, merciful Savior. Redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Imagine God. The world was so sinful, and still is, so sinful, that there was no other way but to send his only Son. His only Son. His treasure, who left heaven and came here for you and I. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely, freely give us all things? Redeemed, I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me does continually dwell. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. I know that I shall see in his beauty the King whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and gives me songs in the night. Redeemed, and how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I look at some thoughts from back in Job again. I look at the time of testing Job went through. That was a time of testing. But he gave Job twice as much at the end as he had before. And I'm not saying that possessions make up for all that suffering, but there was a great lesson for us to learn, and thank God that Job is in the Bible. It's a wonderful book, and you can read it day in and day out and try and understand it totally, but it takes a long time. In chapter 42, his possessions are listed. But he blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, and 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. And by comparing the list with that of Job's possessions before captivity, it'll be observed that in his latter days he had twice as many sheep, camels, oxen, and donkeys, which he formerly possessed, but only the same number of children, 7 sons and 3 daughters. But think of it, dear friends. He had double the amount of children. The rabbis of ancient times noted this apparent discrepancy in the children, that Job really had twice as many children, because those children who had died were in Abraham's bosom. And in that day when Job's Redeemer would stand upon the earth, and I read in Job 19. As for me, I know, Job said, that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take a stand on the earth. Job 19, verse 25. In their flesh they would see God. And it was centuries, my friend, it was centuries later that Job's kinsman redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, answered Job's question. In Job 14:14, if a man dies, shall he live again? And then Jesus, of course, said that I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? John chapter 11, which I read earlier, verses 25 and 26. So much we can learn from Job. So much we can learn from the Old Testament. My dear friends, I pray you're reading it. The Bible, all of it. Very important chapter in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 2. And it's pointing to all of us. It says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and that's Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. That's the evil spirits. Among them we too all formerly lived, in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. And then verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, what a merciful Savior we have, because of his great love with which he loved us, his great love, his infinite love, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. We love him because he first loved us. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, who's sitting making intercession right now for you and I, dear friends, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It's through faith, my friends. It is a gift of God. And what a wonderful gift. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. It's all him. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which God prepared beforehand, so that we would walk in them. And I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, but by his doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Verse 31, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boasts in the Lord. In the Lord. By grace we have been saved. And I think of how he freely gave himself for us. What a wonderful gift. And it tells us in verse 8 in chapter 2 of Ephesians, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. What an indescribable gift, Christ's gift to us in grace. Freely he's given it to us. And as we trod this earth, we should be freely giving it to others, giving them hope in this desperate days. A lot of people don't have hope, my friend. A lot of people are ending their lives with no hope. Maybe because they haven't heard about Jesus. Maybe you should be taking more than one or two or three tracts in your pocket at the start of the day and giving them hope, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope. This isn't it, this short life. It's far from it, my friends. We've got eternity to go through. We don't know how many millions and billions of years eternity is. My little mind can't comprehend, my finite mind can't comprehend what eternity is. And I look at James 4:14. You don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. So today is the day of salvation. That's not in James, but that's elsewhere. You're just a vapor. That's all we are. Just a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes away. So that's why we need to draw near to God now. But if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you, my friends. And cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It says in James 8 and 9, as I just read 8. But 9 it says, be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Am I saying you should walk around with your head down and your chin hanging on your knee? No. Oh, not at all. You'll have the joy of the Lord when you come to know the Lord. But we have to put things in proper perspective. Here's a poem by Grace E. Troy. And we don't understand sometimes the chastening that we have to go through, like as we've been talking about Job. I know not why his hand is laid in chastening on my life, nor why it is my little world is filled with so full of strife. I know not why, when faith looks up and seeks for rest from pain, that over my sky fresh clouds arise and drench my path with rain. I know not why my prayer so long by him has been denied, nor why all other ships sail on, mine should in the port abide. But I do know that God is love, that he my burdens share, and though I may not understand, I know for me he cares, and dear friend, he cares for you very much. I know the heights for which I long are often reached through pain. Isn't there so much truth in that? I know the heights for which I long are often reached through pain. I know the sheaves must needs be threshed to yield the golden grain. I know that though he may remove the friends in whom I lean, 'tis that I thus may learn to love and trust on the one unseen, and of course that's Jesus Christ. And when at last I see his face, and know as I am known, I will not care how rough the road that led me home. And as I was reading that, I was thinking of a wonderful verse. It's Romans 8:18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." You know, I believe the day we walk into heaven, or he takes us into heaven, that we'll just say, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry. I complained for what?" And you've freely given us all things. Dear friends, you're listening to Sunday Praise. My name is Bill Craig, and you're listening on Joy Radio. And thank you for being with me. Thank you so much for being with me, as I definitely want to encourage you in the Lord. Thank you. Edward Klassen on Sunday Praise, and freely, freely you have received. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love as he has told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. This is for all of us, dear friends. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in heaven and earth, and in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his power, as he told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. God gives us life in Jesus' name. He lives in us in Jesus' name. And Jesus came. I come to you to share his peace as he told me to. Here's a little poem I wanted to read you. We've got to get our priorities straight. I think of the acronym BUSY, busy, being under Satan's yoke. And it's so true. I was told that many years ago, and I've thought about it many times. And when we get so busy, we don't know which way to turn. We're really under Satan's yoke. No time for God. You've time to build houses and in them to dwell, and time to do business, to buy and to sell, but none for repentance or deep earnest prayer to seek your salvation. Oh, you've no time to spare. You've time for earth's pleasures, for frolic and fun, for her glittering treasures. How quickly you run, but care not to seek the fair mansions above, the favor of God, or the gift of his love. You've time to take voyages over the sea, and time to take in the fun world and the world's jubilee. But soon your bright hopes will be lost in the gloom of the river of death and the darkened tomb. You've time to resort to woods and mountain and glen, and time to gain knowledge from books of men. Yet no time to search for the wisdom of God. But what about your soul, my friend, when you're under the sod? For time will not linger when helpless you lie. Staring death in the face, you will take time to die. Then what about the judgment? Pause, think, for time will be lost in eternity, sure. I look in Haggai, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, Thus says the Lord of hosts, this people says, The time is not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. They didn't seem to have time for that. They were building their own houses. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai and the prophet, saying, It is time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house lies desolate. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there's not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there's not enough to become drunk. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. And he who earns wages to put into purse with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Three wonderful words. Consider your ways. We must glorify him, not ourselves. Is there anything wrong with being well off? No. No. You're well off, my friend, when you know Jesus Christ. Very well off. Richer than you could ever imagine. But my friends, the Lord wants us to be generous as well. Generous, not just with your money, with telling people about Jesus Christ.
If you want more happy than your heart will hold, if you want to stand tall if the truth were told, take whatever you have and give it away.
In his eye and started breaking off some ears of corn. Here, boy, today this corn is just right. Boil it up for your supper tonight. I've learned it's true what my pappy used to say. Nothing's quite as good.
Told, take whatever you
garden with my Uncle Sam. So I hope you'll hear these words I have to say. There are two kinds of folks, takers and givers. There's gripers and complainers and big-hearted livers. It depends on how we choose to spend our day.
Give it away, Gaither Vocal Band. Give hope to people, dear friends. We need that more than anything. I think of the apostles, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I think of Paul, who became an apostle of Jesus Christ. He thought of Jesus as just a man before he became an apostle. He says, "Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, but now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." Christ paid it all, my friend. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's you, my friend. That's myself and yourself. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And I look at verse 21. Here's the heart of the gospel, my friends. The sinless Savior has taken our sins that we might have God's righteousness. So I'll read verse 21. He made him, of course, is Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become, or we might have, the righteousness of God in him and through him, through Jesus Christ. So beautiful. I look at some thoughts here from Harry Ironside, a great pastor from years gone by. He's up with the Lord now. I'm reading from one of his books, "Except You Repent." That seems to be the key that is missing in many evangelistic sermons, unless you repent. We must repent, dear friends. When Moody and Sankey were having their stirring evangelistic campaigns in England, Mr. Sankey used this old hymn a lot, a great deal, and it's an answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" And here's the hymn. It's an old hymn. "Nothing either great or small." No, you don't have to do anything great or small. "Nothing sinner." No. "Jesus died, did it all, paid it all, long ago." There it is, the gospel. "When he from his lofty throne stooped to do and die, everything was fully done. Hearken to his cry." You got to hearken to his cry. "It is finished." John 19:30. He said, it's finished. There's nothing left to do. Just believe in him. "Yes, indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not?" I can hear Sankey singing it. He had such a beautiful voice. I've only got one song recorded by him from 1899, and it's very hard to make out, but you could tell he has a beautiful voice. "Till to do Jesus' work you cling by a simple faith. Doing is a deadly thing." Yes, it is. doing ends in death. You know why? People that do think, oh, I'm going into heaven because I'm doing so much for God. No, my friends. When you get there, he's going to say, get away from me. I didn't know you. Because you can't do anything. You can only believe. And then you'll want to do. Yes, you will. Of course. And this is why the song says, cast your deadly. It is deadly doing. So many people walk around thinking, I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm going to get into heaven. He's going to let me in. No, my friend. It's the Son of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Cast your deadly doing down at Jesus' feet. Stand in Him alone, gloriously complete. What must I do? Has often been asked, eternal life to gain. Man anxious seems for any task, if this he may obtain. But all the doing has been done, as God has clearly shown. It's done, my friend. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and mine, when by the offering of his own Son his purpose he made known. He laid on him the sinner's guilt, that's yours and mine, when came the appointed day, by the blood that was on Calvary spilt, takes all the guilt away. James Anthony Froude, he was an essayist, declared this hymn to be absolutely immoral. To him it left no place for him to do, because man is so proud, man wants to do. But the plan of salvation, my friend, is him doing it. He's done it. James Anthony Froude was wrong. It is when men repent from dead works and put their faith in God, resting in the redemptive work of his blessed Son, that they really begin to live unto him and to manifest in their ways the good works which are the natural result of the new nature, which I read about in 2 Corinthians. When they are born from above, made members of the new creation, which the risen Christ is the head. Happy is the man who sees the end of all flesh in the cross of Christ and giving up all pretension to human merit, turns from dead works of every kind and description, and rests solely upon the finished work of Jesus. It is finished, repeated a dying saint, and then added, upon that I hang my eternity. Repentance from dead works then implies the giving up of all confidence in yourself. The recognition that I'm not able to do one thing to retrieve my fallen estate. Nothing, not one little thing. If I had all the money in the world and gave it all away and worked till my dying day, it wouldn't be enough. As a dead sinner, I cannot do one thing to merit the divine favor. My prayers, my tears, my charity, my religiousness, all count for what? Nothing, nothing. So far as earning salvation is concerned, I am lost and I need a Savior. I am sick and I need a physician. I am bankrupt and need a Redeemer. I am dead and I need Him. We need Him, dear friend. Him, Jesus Christ. He's the resurrection and the life. And everything we need, we find in Him. We count everything else loss. Maybe you're not destined to be a great evangelist like Billy Graham or somebody like that. Don't worry about it. Work in your corner. I heard a touching story lately that words, the power of words. I read in John 6:63, it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh, or ourselves, our bodies, profit nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But Jesus said, there are some of you here who do not believe. See, the key is believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who did not believe, who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. John 6:44. And as a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? Simon Peter, I love him, don't you love him? Answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? There's no other place to go. You have the words of eternal life. How do people get through this situation on earth right now without Jesus Christ, my friend? Turn to him and tell people about him. Verse 69, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You are the Holy One of God. And recently I heard a story, the power that words have to change a life, and power that's in your hands, my friend. Mary had grown up knowing that she was different from the other kids, and she hated it. She was born with a cleft palate and had to bear the jokes, and kids can be very cruel, and the stares of cruel children. who teased her nonstop about her misshaped lip, crooked nose, and her garbled speech. With all that teasing, Mary grew up hating the fact that she was different. She was convinced that no one outside her family could ever love her, until she entered Mrs. Leonard's class, who loved Jesus Christ and loved her students. Mrs. Leonard had a warm smile, shiny brown hair, while everyone in her class liked her. Mary came to love her. In the 1950s, it was common for teachers to give their children an annual hearing test. However, in Mary's case, in addition to her cleft palate, isn't it interesting? I talked a lot about Job today, my friends. Anyway, back to the story. In addition to her cleft palate, she was barely able to hear out of one ear. Determined not to let the other children have another difference to point out, she would cheat on the hearing test each year. They called it the whisper test. It was given by having a child walk to the classroom door, turn sideways, close one ear with a finger, and then repeat something which the teacher whispered. Mary turned her bad ear towards her teacher and pretended to cover her good ear. She knew that teachers would often say things like, "The sky is blue," or "What color are your shoes?" But not on that day. God put 7 words in teacher Mrs. Leonard's heart that changed Mary's life forever. When the whisper test came, Mary heard the words. She said, "I wish you were my little girl. I wish you were my little girl." Isn't that beautiful? She cared because Jesus cared enough to save her. And I pray that little girl came to know Jesus and the love of Jesus Christ, because it's endless. There's a lot of things, friends, I cannot tell. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ loves you, and he wants you for his own. And he wants you to spend eternity in heaven with him. Thank you. Isn't that beautiful? I cannot tell. But there's some things we can tell. It's like the Bible, my friends. There's some things I don't understand, but a lot of things I do understand. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but have eternal life. I cannot tell why he, the King of Heaven, should leave the peace of all eternity. Why God himself should lay aside his splendor to leave the Father's side and come to me, come to you, dear friend. But this I know, our silence filled with singing, and our darkness fled from heaven's light, when Christ the Lord, so human, yet so holy, in love was born a child for me that holy night. I cannot tell why he, the joy of heaven, should give himself to suffer for our sin, why holy God should love me in my shamefulness, why he should die to draw my soul to him. But this I know, that Christ the Lord is risen, and praise his name, he's risen now in me. Because he lives, I'll rise to life eternal. He took my guilty heart, and I'm forever free. I cannot tell when he will rule the nations, how he'll claim his loved ones as his own. And who can tell the holy jubilation when all his children gather round his throne? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But this I know, the Bible tells me, all flesh will see his glory, and skies will burst as all creation sings. The sun will rise on one eternal morning, when Christ, the Savior, Savior of the world, is Lord and King, and he's coming back, dear friends. Look at things through eternal perspective. Don't look at things as what's happening today. My friends, look at things through God's eyes and God's book. We're looking for that blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. And dear friend, my prayer for you is you become one of his persons. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us not on the basis of deeds. We talked about that earlier. You can't work your way into heaven. Believe, we just have to believe, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, I love you very much, and I hope you love Jesus Christ more. Thank you for being with me. My name is Bill Craig, and please do tell somebody about Jesus, about our Lord and Savior. Tell them about the things you know. You don't have to know the Bible from one end to the other and every word, but tell them what you do know, that he loves you. God bless you, dear friends, and see you next week, Lord willing.
Is that wedding music I hear? The bride's adorned and ready to appear. There's heavenly preparation for the wedding celebration. Is that wedding? The family is preparing for a wedding. All have been invited to attend. The bride is standing ready, waiting for the signal. When the groom says, "Rise, my children, come on in."
Soon we'll arise to leave this land of sorrow. For that ceremony in the air,
the Father
to
the plan of salvation. Just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on that great judgment morning to touch all the matrons in his feet and his hand.
One morning at daybreak, a crowd slowly gathered. They were walking my Lord up old Calvary's hill. So sad was the scene there, that the birds hushed their singing. Like a lamb he was hung to his Father's own will.
I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there judgment morning to touch all the prince in his feet and his hand. I want to thank Jesus for the plan of salvation, just to say, Lord, I love you, for you understand. I want to be there on that great judgment morning to touch all the matrons in his feet and his hand. To touch all the matrons in his feet and his hands.